We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's make our picks. Let's make our picks.
We can do it.
Let's start in the Sweet 16 of the Greensboro bracket. Give me okay. South Carolina, UNC.
South Carolina.
Yeah, it's, I'm sorry. Sorry, UNC. I want to give you guys a case. I don't see one.
You can't.
I don't see one. Especially with South Carolina's presence inside. That's going to be
key factor.
It may not be that pretty. Although Greensboro, it will be really interesting to see the crowd dynamic in Greensboro. The South Carolina fans, the fams travel really well. UNC obviously will have a ton of people there in Greensboro. I will be in Greensboro. So I'm excited to see how that matches up.
Fun.
That being said, I don't think the on-court matchup is going to be as exciting. Yeah. South Carolina, moving on. There she is. We lost Christy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, phone call coming in. I need to learn how to block that. Anyway, it's fine. Go ahead.
Let's go with Iowa State, Iowa. This has become kind of a sexy upset pick. I think our simulations actually have Iowa State winning. Where are you going with this one?
I'm going with Iowa. I mean, like I said, you know, sometimes it takes losing to win. Mm-hmm. And I think because of the rivalry and because of how they lost that game earlier this season, I think Iowa is going to retool and tap in and compartmentalize and have blinders on and try to rewrite that whole scenario from earlier this season and that loss that they had.
I think it'll be really close. This is just another game where I'm like, hey, Iowa has the best player on the court. There's only going to be one game, and we're going to talk about it in just a second, where they're not going to have the best player on the court. And I think that'll matter greatly against Iowa State, and they're going to be they're super amped up too. And that's the other thing is like when you're looking at these matchups, you know, who's the most excited to be there and playing and super focused. I think that's going to be Iowa based on what we've seen in the past couple of weeks from them.
Yeah.
Agreed. That being said, a lot of people think Iowa State should be the 2 seed. If Iowa doesn't win that championship game, there's a good chance that Iowa State is the 2 seed here and Iowa is the 3 seed. I'm still going with Iowa. Even if it was flipped, I'd still go with Iowa.
Yeah, no, I'm going with Iowa for sure. I think, you know, they have the confidence right now winning the Big Ten tournament title and the regular season title with Ohio State. I just think their confidence and experience is going to carry them a far distance in this tournament. And I think definitely over Iowa State and no shade to them because what a terrific team.
Yeah, great team.
Insanely good and already prove that they can beat Iowa. So it's not going to be a close game. I mean, it's not going to be
a blowout
game. I believe it will be a very close game, if not an overtime situation, buzzer beating situation. But I think the edge will go to Iowa in that one.
I agree. All right. Now we're moving on to our Elite Eight in Greensboro. And this is going to be one that breaks Twitter. between, and we'll see if we have the player of the year announced. I don't know when the player of the year announcement is coming. Hopefully, hopefully it comes after this. Like, let's make it after the Elite Eight, because we're gonna get South Carolina, Iowa, Caitlin Clark fans versus Aaliyah Boston fans. It's gonna be a really great game, I think. Or I could see South Carolina just kind of pulling away, especially in front of a hometown friendly crowd. I got the Gamecocks winning this one. I just think Iowa's gonna have their hands full. Lot size down low and the things that South Carolina likes to do, and those guards for South Carolina are no joke as well. I think South Carolina matched up pretty well defensively against Caitlin Clark, so I'm going with the Gamecocks.
As much as I hate to say it, I think you're right on that, Gabe, just with Aaliyah Boston inside with Monica Sonano. I mean, two totally different players. I mean, Boston can stretch out a little bit, and has made some threes this year, and not that that's going to be her MO and the design, but maybe it is to pull Monica Sonano away from the basket, you know, so she's not there for rebounds. I don't know, but we'll see. I think it's going to be really creative, but I also think, you know, Destiny Henderson is going to get right up underneath Caitlin Clark defensively.
And Zaya Cook.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. But there are more weapons than those two players. I think, you know, it's got to be a collective defensive effort from South Carolina. And I think they missed that in the SEC championship game against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You know, it was down the stretch. They had a 12-point lead with 3 minutes to go and didn't win. So, and it was because of their defense. Okay. And understood they missed some chippies and some shots that would normally go down. Didn't press the panic button, but maybe they should have because they needed the stops on the other side, and Kentucky kept just picking away and ended up getting that crazy buzzer beating win off that great play design out of the timeout. But anyway, I just think that it's going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that game is going to decide who the player of the year is, because I think in the weeds is Nelissa Smith, who probably has something to say about it. But I think a lot of eyes will be on that game because of that. But I'm going to go with South Carolina.
Yeah, I also think South Carolina is going to be a little bit amped up too, because I think Lisa Bluter said like they have like 10 All-Americans, so it's easy for them or something. And that's not something you want to say when you're in the same region as South Carolina. And you know Dawn's going to be hitting that button all the time. They may not have bulletin board. I don't know if they do bulletin boards anymore, but if they do, it'll be up there. Mm-hmm.
They have Instagram stories.
Or yes, that'll fill up the Instagram stories.
So we have, I don't know.
We have South Carolina. We both have South Carolina in the Final Four for the second straight year, coming out of the Greensboro Regional. Confetti falls. Yay. Okay. Moving on to Wichita. Now remind me, did we pick BYU or Baylor?
I thought we picked Baylor in that.
I mean, do we pick BYU or Michigan? We picked BYU for the coin toss. Yes, that was the coin flip.
I'd lost the coin toss, so yeah. I guess it went to BYU.
So we went to BYU. The tie went.
So we say until I see evidence of the coin toss.
The law firm of Susano and Clark will be contacting you shortly. Our Sweet 16 matchup in Wichita is Louisville versus Oregon.
Okay.
So this one's tough for me.
I'm going Louisville. I think I had Louisville in that, on my bracket on that one. I just think, you know, their experience right now will carry them over the hump, and not in a blowout fashion. That's what I'm saying. I don't think any of these games are going to be blowouts. No. I think at this point, none of them are going to be like that. I think you want close games.
Yeah.
You know, down the stretch, you're trying to fight for Elite Eight, Final Four. It's going to be a close game, but I'm giving the edge to Louisville.
I agree. I'm going to go with Louisville. If Oregon's, it's just hard to tell where Oregon's at, because they've been so injured all year. So I'm not sure where their chemistry is in terms of just like knowing where everyone's going to be. You're right. They don't have that tournament experience. I think Louisville has tournament experience and is very upset at what happened in that conference tournament. Katie Meyer actually said after beating Louisville that this might push them to get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you. Louisville over Oregon, but Oregon may have more talent straight up than Louisville. They may. But I'm going with the Cards. I think we'll have it'll be a really fun matchup there. But I'm going with the Cards. I'm going with the Cards.
Yeah.
All right. The Sweet 16 matchup on the other side of the bracket for in Wichita is BYU Baylor.
I'm going Baylor.
Yeah, I'm going Baylor.
What did you say? What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say I don't think BYU has anyone to stop Melissa Smith. I think that's true for most teams across the country, but I just think in particular she's going to have a field day here against BYU.
Agreed. I just think she is just such a monster when it comes to, you know, being consistent, but also being hungry, you know, like she was National Player of the Year. I just think that last year, I just think that she's got something to prove.
I agree. I think they're moving on. So now we have our Elite Eight matchup in Wichita. We have Louisville versus Baylor. Absolute barn burner. This game is like maybe the best one in the Elite Eight, to be honest.
I believe that.
No shade to everyone else. This game might be the best game in the Elite Eight. Oh, do you want to make a pick first? Do you want me to make a pick first?
No, you go first, Gabe.
I'll go first.
I'm still wheels turning here over here.
I could see it going either way. And one, I'm going to be honest with you guys. One reason I'm taking Louisville. And one reason I'm doing that is because everyone's picking Baylor. And I think when you're looking for value in your brackets, if you want to win your bracket pool, one thing you have to do is kind of pick something that's against where everyone else is, even though it might be a little chalky to pick another one seed. I'm going with Louisville. And I think one of the reasons is Emily Angstler is one of, if not the best defensive player in the country this year.
Yeah.
He will be matched up primarily with Melissa Smith. I think that matchup is going to determine a lot of what happens. I think if Angstler can take away some of what Smith does, you can't shut that player down. You can't shut her down. It's not going to happen. But if you can take away some of the things she does and Baylor's 3-point shots aren't falling, I think it's going to be a rough day. And I think Louisville has enough talent to do that. I think they match up really, really well with Baylor. And I think Louisville is going to head to the Final Four.
Ooh-wee.
Right.
I see that. And I agree with defense at this part of the season. I think that's going to be the key. We were talking about a Baylor team that lost to Maryland on one possession game, lost to Michigan in overtime. And I think in those instances, it was about the defense that was applied by Michigan and Maryland down the stretch. So I think that's going to be a key factor in this game. And I'm going to go ahead and go with Louisville as well.
Yeah, and the other thing with Louisville is like the games they've lost this year to a certain extent have been them like losing focus. Like they lost against NC State.
Yeah.
They were up 18 in the second half and they lost focus. So against Miami, same thing happened. So I don't think that's going to happen when you're in the Elite Eight against a team as good as Baylor. I think they'll be well prepared. I think they'll be ready for that game. I just think they have the right personnel to beat Baylor. So we're going Louisville in their first Final Four since... When was their last Final Four?
Oh, man.
I think
was that 3 years ago? Messed me up. Was it 19?
The last one was in 18. So is that 18. Mai Shines Island?
Say it again.
Was that Mai Shines Island's?
It was. Look at you.
Right.
Mystics reference, WNBA around the corner.
We've almost gone through the entire Mystics starting lineup. Yeah, I think that was. Yeah, it was her senior year. As you're seeing
18. Yeah.
Also, good Lord, the tape on Maisha Hines Allen in college. I wasn't really watching college basketball then. Good Lord. The tape is incredible. Oh my
Monster.
God.
Monster.
Absolute, absolute beast there at Louisville. And so they're in the Final Four from the Wichita region, our Wichita regional champions, heading to the Final Four against South Carolina. We'll talk about that in just a second. All right. Moving back up to the Spokane region. Here's where we're gonna have our big disagreement. Let's do Texas, Ohio State first. I think we both have Texas.
Texas.
Yeah. They both press. It'll be super fun.
Huge. And they're huge. I think their size gives them the edge.
Oh, yeah. No, I really like Texas. I think Rory Harmon, you know, we talked about teams not being afraid. I think she might be the least afraid of anyone as a freshman. She comes in and she's just like, yeah, I'm doing this. I think there's one of those players that rises up to the moment. I think that team rises up to the moment. I think they're really well coached. So, Ohio State's great and they do have a chance there, but we're going Texas. Okay. Back up to the top. Stanford, Maryland. Give me the case. Tell me how Maryland beats Stanford.
With their consistent focus, I think they have to play their best basketball because of how strategic Tara Vanderveer is with her chess pieces and mm-hmm. her box, but also Brenda Fries. I mean, Brenda Fries is super, you know, strategic as well and tactically sound. We've seen that. But I think the application of the game plan will be a key factor with Stanford and Maryland. And I don't know, I'm just thinking about it out loud and, you know, alumni status notwithstanding here, obviously, I think that Stanford has been the most disciplined of the two teams this season. And not to say that the strategy wasn't correct, the application of the strategy mm-hmm. has been consistently displayed by Stanford. And yes. I'm sorry to say, I can't say the same about Maryland.
And that's
not a shady thing. That's just a direct observation. But that's the difference.
I mean, it's best.
I said it.
I believe I said on the Ion College Basketball podcast that Maryland does not play defense, which is not true. That's not true. That was me being dramatic effect. They do play some defense, and they've gotten much better throughout the year. They certainly have gotten much better throughout the year. I do think the discipline thing you brought up, though. Here's the thing, right? We've said this before. There's mm-hmm. not many teams in this country that have as much talent as Maryland does. Stanford right. is one of those teams, but I still think, you know, Ashley Owusu, Diamond Miller, and Angel Reese make up probably the strongest trio you could make up out of any of the players here. I mean, the Cameron Brink, yeah. Haley Jones, Lexi Hall would be your other one on the other side. And I don't think yeah. Hall is as good as in the same category there. So, I mean, if they can get one thing they have to do is they're going to have to get Cameron Brink into foul trouble. And Angel Reese is really good at that. Angel Reese could definitely do that.
She could do that.
There's the other side of like, well, does Tara even let Brink get onto Reese? And then how are you getting Brink onto Reese if you're not doing that? Because that's what I would do if I was Vanderveer. I would say, you know, Brink, you're not, don't get near her. Just cover someone else. Just cover. They have shooters that stand on the side. Like we'll give up some stuff on the defensive end to have you in the game. I don't know. I'm just with you. I just think Stanford is so disciplined and they run their offense so well, and they figured it out. They figured it out late in the season how to run it and not have to have that point guard presence that they had last year. And Haley Jones has developed her distribution so much this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of trouble picking Stanford. I do think Maryland has a good chance, though. So are you picking Maryland?
I want to. I know Candace Parker picked Maryland. You know,
oh, really?
I saw her bracket.
So they
I don't know if she picked them over. I don't know if she picked them over Stanford, though, but I know she picked them like throughout. It's so tough because I want to, you know, I want to choose Maryland here because I know at their best, they are tough to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the lack of consistency to me that steers me towards Stanford because they've been more consistent with their execution.
I'm going to Stanford. I'm going to Stanford too. I think if we got to see the first two rounds before we pick this game, so maybe next week, we'll change our minds, but I just can't do it yet without seeing Maryland have that full discipline and focus on the defense end or just be bonkers offensively. Cause that's the other option for them. Maryland can just say, you know, we'll play the same defense we played all year, but you're not gonna be able to stop us once Katie Benson gets going. Once we have our shooters going, if everyone's making shots for Maryland, they're impossible to stop. Impossible.
That's what I'm saying.
I just have to see, we had to see it first. And unfortunately we have to make our picks before the tournament. So I'm with you. I think your reasoning's sound, honestly, but we'll see. And it should be mentioned that Stanford did beat Maryland earlier this year in the Bahamas by 18 points. I don't think that's a fair representation of Maryland, though. No Diamond Miller, no Katie Benson. They were very hurt.
And no Faith Misonis. Wasn't she injured too? They had six players in that game. Owusu had 30, but she also had four fouls at halftime and stayed in that game. I mean, I believe it was that Stanford game. It was one of the two games they lost down there, NC State and Stanford, for Maryland. But they had six, seven players.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, it's not a good representation.
It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's the reality of that situation was they were not on full blast.
And it's not predictive. So I don't know. We'll talk more about Maryland and Stanford. Hopefully it happens. God, but please make that happen. Because that is a game that is circled on my calendar. Let's move on to the Elite Eight in the Spokane region. We got Stanford versus Texas. So we agree on the two teams here.
Yeah.
Texas did straight up beat Stanford. Both teams were healthy. And that was on November 14th. Take it with a grain of salt because Stanford hadn't figured out those point guard issues that I had mentioned earlier. They weren't quite as disciplined. They weren't quite as ready to run the system like they are running it now.
Yeah, true.
That being said, Texas also got much better throughout this season. They've gotten they had a young team and they had to gel and they had a few transfers. Leah Matharu had a huge game in that one. Now she's only gotten better with her team.
Right.
I don't know which way to go here. So you can pick first.
Oh gosh. I have to pick. Give me some stats.
let's look at some stats. Please. Texas. I don't know how much stats are predictive at this point. Like, because at this point, we're going to be picking, splitting hairs. It's not like in the first round where these teams are really going to have.
Oh, it would be a big difference. Yeah
it's like you could point to 3-point rate of Texas. Texas's 3-point rate is super low, so they're going to have to get in the paint a lot. And Stanford's excellent at guarding teams in the paint. If you want to, here, let me look up their opponent shooting numbers here. So their opponents. They don't score a lot from two. They are third in the nation opponent 2-point percentage, which you have less shooting luck involved there than you do at the 3-point line.
Mm-hmm.
So Stanford's strength defensively is also Texas's strength offensively. So it's going to be whoever wins about. I think my initial reaction, my gut reaction is that Stanford is just a better basketball team.
Yeah.
But if Texas starts making shots, then you have to play with the press. And how is the press going to affect everything? Are you running? Are you turning the ball over? Can you maintain your stamina that long? How in shape are you? Where's your conditioning at this point in the year? How tough was that game against Maryland, right? Like, that's the other thing. It's like, how tough was this game? If this Maryland-Stanford game goes in the double every time they got to play Texas press, I'm taking Texas. Everything being equal, I will go with Stanford is the bottom line.
I hear you. And I think Stanford too. I think, and I, you know, what I was saying earlier about just the discipline. I mean, they have that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they toe the line with expectations, integrity of the game plan and application. And that's the coach's dream, number mm-hmm. one. Okay. But I think Tara Vanderveer, I mean, just coming off of that championship last year, after the huge gap, was it 29 years in between?
Yeah, something like that.
But several Final Fours in between that big gap. But the fact that she has the ability to continue to mentor and continue to mold what she wants from her team and the pieces of the team, I'm going with Stanford there.
Yeah. So, but in two things we should bring up, horns up. We're going to go, I mean, one is Stanford fouls a ton, shouts Cameron Brink. So, I mean, there's another opportunity there to put Cameron Brink on the bench. She fouls a ton. She's an amazing.
She does foul a lot. She has four fouls a game.
She's an amazing.
Three and a half fouls a game. Yeah.
Amazing basketball player. She just fouls a lot.
She does.
The second thing is Stanford has struggled with their free throws. And we've seen that come up in the tournament before. So.
True.
I don't know. It could very well be a situation where those two things come into play. And if that does happen, then Texas can win. But we're both picking Stanford out of the Spokane region, defending champs, going to the Final Four yet again to defend their championship. Let's go down to the Bridgeport region. NC State, Notre Dame. NC State, Notre Dame is the first Elite Eight matchup, Sweet 16 matchup in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I'm going with the Wolfpack. I don't think they lose again to Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm going with NC State on that too. I just think, again, you know, when you're matched up with a team that has beaten you, you have the advantage in that mm-hmm. contest. So I think NC State has the advantage, and I think they'll win it.
I agree. So you can move past Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's a lovely team. Very fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Moving down to the bottom of the bracket. This is where your things are going to get contentious. So UConn against Indiana. UConn is basically home, which we brought up earlier. And I want to get your thoughts here on UConn essentially playing at home as the 2 seed
right. in
the Bridgeport region.
Here we go.
So the on one hand, this may have just been how the bracket turned out. It's not. The Bridgeport region is there for UConn, so they were going to Bridgeport. That being said, I do think it is an unfair advantage for the 1 seed in particular, NC State, to have to go play a 2 seed at home. Mm-hmm. You had to do this, as we reminded people, when you had to go play in Texas as the 1 seed, and Texas was the 2 seed, and you guys won.
Yeah.
But still. So I wanted to get your thoughts.
Still, you know, and sometimes it's not the situation, it's the principle, right? Yeah. It's like you fight all season and work your butt off to get a 1 seed, and then you don't even get to play at home or in your region home area. And I'm not, you know, the NCAA is what it is, and they made the decision based on what they felt was best business-wise.
Yeah.
In terms of butts and seats, but the way that things are going, I mean, they can get butts and seats in Raleigh. Am I wrong on that? Here's another thing.
No, of course you are. If you're right. I'm with you. I just think it's wrong that NC State went all through this, and now their reward for being a 1 seed will be essentially playing an away game against UConn. If UConn wins this game against Indiana, let's talk about this game with Indiana. Cause I'm going to be honest. I think Indiana is going to win this game. You want to talk about a team that would be ready and revved up to play against UConn in Connecticut. Talk about those seniors at Indiana who want this moment. You know, if they are healthy, if Mackenzie Holmes is healthy, I'm just going to assume it because I want it to be true.
Yes.
Indiana, we were talking about them as a 1 seed for most of the year.
Right.
Until that injury.
Yeah.
I think they match up really well with UConn too. I think they have the size. They have the depth. They have the guard play. They have everything you want. And they're tough as nails. And I just think Indiana's going to win that game. Really do.
I think Mackenzie Holmes' health has to be close to 100% as possible.
Yep.
But I also know that they're hungry, as we've said earlier about Indiana. But I don't know if Coach Weller, my coach at Maryland, I don't know if she told us. I told you I didn't even know we were a 1 seed. We were just like, hey, where are we playing next? What time's the game? Where are my shoes at? That's where we were. I think for this Indiana team, though, however, and any other team going to Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
I think there's always going to be an extra log on the fire when it comes to the competitiveness of that game and you know, feeling slighted and feeling like, well, you know, here we are, you know, why are we up here? You know, and there are all those other factors that go into it. But I think for me, I think it's the run it back factor that Indiana has with all 5 starters. I think it's Nicole Cardano Hillary being on 10,000 with her defensive motor and offensive motor for that matter. I mean, she is such a killer when it comes to presence of mind on the defensive end and just being crafty on that side of the court. But Allie Patberg, and I just think Grace Berger is another player we don't talk about enough nationally, and her abilities to be consistent. I mean, she's had 3 triple-doubles in her career. You know, she has the ability to really be an X factor. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the run it back factor that Indiana is going to this postseason with, and that's going to be the difference maker. And I think they could beat anybody.
I think it would be anybody.
When they have that mentality, but also have the 95%+ healthy Mackenzie Holmes too.
Yeah,
like she's got to be ready to go.
That's our if. But I think if that is true,
Big minutes.
I think they beat UConn. I think they're, and it'll also depend on Paige, right? We absolutely have to mention Paige's health.
Talk about that.
Because we saw Mackenzie Holmes play, and she looked pretty good. She was able to get how many minutes did she play in that championship game? She played a hefty load.
It was a ton of minutes, but she also played, you know, a ton of minutes in that Maryland game.
Yeah.
you know, and throughout. I don't think she was on a minutes restriction during the tournament.
No, she played 30 minutes against Iowa in the championship game. Whereas for UConn, and UConn's situation is a little bit different with the Big East tournament. Mm-hmm. Paige, I think, only played like 8 minutes in that championship game. I don't know if Paige is fully healthy. Well, then yeah, we might be back to Death Star UConn. I just don't think she's fully healthy, and I'm not sure she's going to get there. And I think, you know, there's advantages here for Indiana, and you know, and you look at Mackenzie Holmes versus Olivia Nelson Adota, take Mackenzie Holmes. You know, Grace Berger against Kristen Williams, or whoever you want, or Nicole Gardano Hillary against Kristen Williams. Yeah. Hey, it may be a little bit of a mismatch, but ain't no one out toughing Nicole Gardano Hillary. I think their guards match up super well. I just see it. So maybe this is wishful thinking, but I think Indiana's damn good. I don't think this is me being too overly optimistic.
No, I think it could happen for sure. And I think, you know, with a team like UConn, they're about 4 or 5 points better with Paige on the floor. Mm-hmm. They shoot it a little bit better from the floor when she is present with them. But like you said, 8 minutes in a game, like, and I know they're probably being very, very cautious with her in terms of those minutes that she had in the Big East tournament. But I also know that she was averaging nearly 22 points per game. And since her return, 6 points a game.
Yeah.
So, but the team is better with her on the floor, no question about it. But are you helping or hurting the team more by not being 100%?
Yeah.
In terms of your physical health. And I think that is a factor for both Holmes and Beckers. I mean, both of them have to be as close to 100% as possible. And I think with this big gap in between conference tournaments and the first round of the games in the NCAA tournament, I think that's a benefit for both of those players in terms of their health. So we'll see as the tournament unfolds what that looks like, you know, after a couple of games. How are we doing? You know, and not just statistically, but what does your gait look like? What does your cardio look like? What does your explosiveness look like? And what does your rhythm with the team look like too? Because that's all factored in as well. It's not just how high you're jumping or how fast you're running. It's also the timing on both sides. Like your defensive timing, everyone talks about it's the offensive rhythm and how, you know, the continuity of your offense looks. It's also on defense too. You got to be able to communicate and rotate. And that's going to be a factor as well for both.
I agree. But we're going Indiana in part because...
Yeah, we can go Indiana. I'm all for that.
All right, we're going to the Elite Eight. The Elite Eight. The Elite Eight here. Okay. NC State versus Indiana in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Man.
I don't know.
I got to tie my hair back on that one, Gabe, because I got my neck. Got my neck hot right. on that one.
So I picked Indiana because we already had 3-1 seats. I did.
Okay.
That being said.
Okay.
I don't know. This is so tough. This is a great matchup. This is a great matchup.
It is really, really good. Top to bottom, right?
Yeah. They just met. They're such similar teams with similar stories. And like they all came back and they're all talented and experienced and well coached. And
yeah,
you know, they run through a great big. And oh my God. I don't. I'm gonna go with NC State. I just like sitting here thinking about it now without the idea of the other one season, ignoring the rest of my bracket.
Okay,
I'm going with NC State because I think Kunane and Holm, like it's the same thing that I was talking about with UConn. It's like if you look up and down, how are you matching up? I think a lot of things cancel out. I think NC State has some better depth and some more people to throw in. I think that's going to contribute to them being able to use their conditioning and use that depth to maintain their stamina late in this game when it's going to be close. And let me check on everyone's free throw percentage, which is something that I'm always looking at because you got to hit your free throws here in March. I mean, Indiana's at 75%, 63rd in the nation. That's pretty good. Let's look at NC State. NC State's 75.6%. It's 43rd in the nation. So there's no difference there. I just think NC State has a little bit more juice. I think they're a better team. I think Kudane's just a little bit better than Holmes. I think, you know, at every little spot, right? Yeah, I mean, Nicole Cardano Hillary versus Reyna Perez, like just like the mid-major darlings, and my Twitter feed is gonna go crazy if that happens. I have to go with NC State. I just think they're so good and they're so together and they have so much chemistry. And I think the same can be said about Indiana. I just think NC State's players are like this much better.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And I know Indiana can apply that defensive pressure.
Yeah.
And I know they have that. They want to take that next step from Elite Eight to go to the Final Four and beyond. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for that. That's not statistical.
But NC State has that too. They didn't, you know, they went to three straight Sweet 16s and they didn't want that on their ring. They don't want that. They don't want that to be their legacy. They want to get it forward.
I'm going with Indiana. I know we have to make an agreement. I know we have to, but I just think the mental makeup too, and not shading NC State And maybe I've just seen, and I've seen NC State play, so it's not like I haven't.
No, it's definitely, that's factoring in for me too, because recency bias, like I just saw NC State play.
Right.
I broke down a lot of their tape. So
yeah, I saw them in the tournament in particular, and I several games ahead of that too, a whole games. Oh man. And I gotta stick with Indiana.
Let's stick with Indiana. Indiana is already in my Final Four. Let's do it. That's fun. That is more fun. Indiana is
trying to walk myself away from it.
How could we have a bracket and not have a Big Ten team on there? After all that we have talked about this conference, we need a Big Ten team to make it. And we didn't put Maryland. That was such non-homerism for us. We didn't even put Miami. We didn't put Miami. Well. So, we're being objective. I just think that Indiana's
really hard. Yeah.
I think they're so talented.
They're really good. The toughest, and NC State is tough too. So I believe it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be a one possession game, you know, or a 1 point game. I think it's going to be very, very tough.
If that one happens, that's going to be probably the best matchup that we're going to see. I think those teams match up the best. All right, let's get to our Final Four picks. We don't have to spend as much time here because it's just so speculative. We don't know who's going to be here. But South Carolina, Louisville on one side. I'm going South Carolina. No offense.
South Carolina. Yeah. Same.
They're the best team. They've been the best team. Like, yeah.
Well, we'll talk just about have it. It. They just have the it factor.
All right. On the other side, we have Stanford, Indiana. This is an awesome matchup. Again, I just think Indiana's top five can match up with anyone in the country. I think they're extremely disciplined. All of the things we said about Stanford still apply. You know, get them to foul trouble or get them on the free throw line. Indiana has a good advantage there. I'm still going to go Stanford, though. I just think the way they play basketball is beautiful and extremely difficult to guard, even if you have a week to prepare for it.
I'm going Stanford as well. I just think their consistency factor, you know, again, comes through for me. I think they just play the right way on every play. And not that Indiana doesn't, but I think it's on every play. I think at this point of the season, when you're in the Final Four or the Final Two or whatever, it comes down to who's going to make the least amount of mistakes.
Yep.
Okay. And I think that's Stanford. And that's why I'm going with them.
They played earlier this year. That was a 3-point game. Ooh, I get to watch tape of that game. Ooh, that'd be fun. and also, I just thought they don't have Indiana as good as Mackenzie Holmes is. She doesn't have an answer for Cameron Brink. So if Cameron Brink can stay on the floor in that one, they're moving on. Okay. So that we have our national championship. And it's a rematch of last year's Final Four barn burner between South Carolina and Stanford. It is wonderful. Aaron Barzilai brought this up on our Ion College Basketball podcast that, this is the rivalry that I think a lot of fans want to see develop more and kind of knock it out, you know, break UConn's hold over the sport and create a new rivalry that we can ride with for the next few years. So you got South Carolina, Stanford, and national championship. I'm going to be honest, straight up. I think Stanford wins this game. I think Stanford, because they got so close. They got so close to being South Carolina in South Carolina in a real home game.
Yeah.
I think if they're really difficult to stop. As I've mentioned before many, many times, mm-hmm. I think they're just ready for that challenge. I think they have, I think Haley Jones is going to be very difficult for South Carolina to stop, mm-hmm. especially on a quick turnaround. It's another thing here that we have to remember, because you're not going to be looking ahead to the national championship when you're preparing for the Final Four.
Right.
I think Stanford gets them. I think Stanford gets them. And also, this is another value pick. If you want to be, you know, super nerd about it, this is a great value pick because, as we all know, the national champion pick counts the most out of all of the picks you're going to make. And
yeah.
the vast majority of people will be picking South Carolina because they've looked like the best team in the country all year. And I think it's closer. I think it's closer than people will expect. So I would go with Stanford just as a value pick to see if you can get those points over other people in the Final Four. But that's not what we're doing in this podcast. I just wanted to mention it as a value play. But you know, what's your analysis here, South Carolina, Stanford, as we sit here, you know, 4 weeks before this potentially happens?
Honestly, 4 weeks ahead, I feel you. I just think in my mind, when you said matchup, you know, a rematch between mm-hmm. South Carolina and Stanford, you know, the picture that came in my head.
Yeah.
Aaliyah Boston's face when she missed that put back to advance them to the championship game last year. Dude, I can't get that out of my mind, number one. And number two, she's not going to let that happen again. I think she's going to have...
It's fair. I think it's a fair point.
She's going to have like a 50-piece or something like that. Like she's just going to be unleashed. I don't know, man. I just think that counts for something. When you lose the year before and you have the opportunity not mm-hmm. only to be in that same, pretty much same position, but to be playing the same team that you lost to with basically the same players on the court, man, I'm going South Carolina.
All right. Let's go South Carolina. We're going South Carolina.
I'm going South Carolina just because of that face. Like I can't unpaint that picture in my mind. Aaliyah Boston coming up short, man.
And she's treated that like all of us have treated a bad breakup in the past. Like she overhauled her body, got herself in more shape. She's been breathing fire all year long. And she's been telling everyone that she's like cool, but like deep down, we know that she's been dying, chomping at the bit to play Stanford.
Mm-hmm. She wants to run it back, honey. She wants, and all of them do, but especially her. And when you have your key cog feeling that way, it trickles down. Dawn's gonna have mm-hmm. them ready, you know, for a repeat. You know, I just can't count them out. So I can't walk. I'm definitely not. I other things I've been able to walk myself away from. I'm not walking myself away from that. I just think it's gonna be too much mental toughness from South Carolina on that game and the emotion of the redo mm-hmm. or rematch. I think that's going to carry them over, and it will be close. It's not going to be some blowout situation. I think it'll be within 10 points or less.
All right.
Points or less.
So we actually do have to do a final score prediction. What I have is just like generic 74-68.
Oh my God. I had 70-69 South Carolina. Well, I did 1 point. I gave a 10 point grace, you know, 10 point grace, but I did on my bracket online this morning, actually, I said 70-69 South Carolina over Stanford.
All right. I think this is good. I think this is going to be better than my bracket was last year when I was in the 22nd percentile. Or no. Yeah. That's what it was. I was in the 22nd percentile.
I didn't even know what I was. So I'm sure
it was real bad last year. I think I know. I really worked hard to not do that this year.
Good.
That being said, we'll see what happens because there's often times where you should not listen to me picking brackets. I get a little ahead of myself. Okay. So we picked the entire bracket. It only took us 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh my God. It took us 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually need to get lunch. We got so into it that I forgot to eat.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. I think that's it. We'll talk about the all American teams later.
Yeah, I saw
that. Maybe we could do that in person, our first in-person courtside podcast.
I know. I can't wait.
Maybe we can do fun. That when we are in College Park. We will be there from Thursday until Sunday, literally all day. I think we're there all day. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, all day Thursday for the practices, press conferences. I can't wait for that. Just to get to hear from the coaches and the players. That's always fun.
I'm super excited. But yeah, that being said, we do need to move because now I got hungry now that we're ending this podcast.
Okay. No, I'm starving now.
Christy, wrap us up. Get us out of here.
Yeah, let's send us out of here. Hey, we don't have to go home, but we need to get some lunch and we got to get out of here. But listen, oh my goodness, we're going to be courtside all NCAA tournament long for you right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. For Gabe Ibrahim, I am Christy Winter Scott. We will see you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.